You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
My name is Clay Newcomb, and I'm the host of the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast. I'll also be your host into the world of hunting, the icon of North American wilderness, the bear. We'll talk about tactics, gear, conservation, but we'll also bring you into some of the wildest country on the planet, chasing bear. Welcome to the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast. It's October the 1st. And if you hear the hum of a Silverado motor, some all-terrain tires, it's because I'm recording this podcast alone in my truck. I'm headed to Southeast Oklahoma. Today is almost a sacred day for me. October 1st has been the Oklahoma opener for several years now, and I look forward to it as much as any date on the calendar. I truly do. So I'm heading to the Redneck Blind. Some of you may have been watching the Bear Hunting Magazine YouTube channel and seen our vlogs. But back in August, we put up a Redneck Blind in Southeast Oklahoma on private land. We can bait bears on private land in Oklahoma in four different counties. And I put up this Redneck Blind on a proven property. Now, it was a new actual bait site. I'd never baited in that particular spot, but I had baited bears within, let's say, 500 yards of there. So it was close enough that we knew that it would be inconsequential in terms of drawing in bears. But it was a new bait site. Put up a redneck blind because this place had proven to hold big bears. Year in and year out, there were usually some really big, older, mature male bears that would be utilizing the bait, but they're always super hard to kill. And usually what happens is if they are coming in the daytime when the season rolls around, they just know the system, and they know to scent check these baits, and basically they'll get downwind of a bait, they'll smell a human in there, and they won't come in, and you won't kill them. There's, you know, as a whitetail hunter, sometimes you think, well, why don't you just get the wind right? Well, this really is a unique situation, and you're dealing with an animal that, I don't want to say they reason more than a whitetail deer, because I don't know that an animal really reasons, but you're not dealing with a whitetail deer. You're dealing with an animal that's coming to a specific spot. You're dealing with an animal that knows there's a human involved. Like when we come in and bait, we're not trying to hide our human presence on this particular bait. We drive right up to the bait. We get out. We're sweating. We're handling the food that we're feeding these bears. So these bears know that there's a human involved. They know it. And so the trick is to, on the day you hunt, convince them that there is no human there. And from a tree stand, that's pretty hard, because these big bears, they know the system. They're scent checking these baits. And in the mountains of Southeast Oklahoma, in the mountains of Arkansas, I have yet to hunt a mountain area where the winds weren't variable. I mean, if the wind is predominantly out of the southwest and you've got your stand set up accordingly to blow your scent away from the bait, well, that's just the direction the bears come from. They really play the wind well. So this redneck blind, it's a big one. It's the Buck Palace. It's been up for 2 months. The bears don't mind it. The bears have not torn it up. The bears have climbed up the ladder and they've messed with it, but they have not hurt the blind in any way, which was a big question going into this hunt, because would the bears just shred it? Bears are notorious for shredding anything that is a petroleum-based product, like a blind that has rubber on it. If you left a four-wheeler seat out at that bait site, even though they know it's not food, there's no caloric value inside that seat, they would just shred it. And we were uncertain of how they would respond to it, but they have not bothered it in the least. Now, granted, we have not used the blind. There's no human scent in there. There's no food scent in there. There's nothing. We've just been in there a very little time. So today I will be entering the redneck blind, and like the Ark, I'm going to shut the door and the hunt will be on. But the reason for the redneck is for scent containment. The redneck is not 100% scent free because it's not an airtight box. I mean, you've got to breathe inside of there. But I do believe that it reduces your scent dramatically. Dramatically. All the windows on that blind are sealed with rubber gaskets. There is one small air filter hole in the blind that's designed to let air in and out. But I don't think it's going to be enough to alarm the bears. And remember, this bait site already, these bears know. I mean, these big, old, mature males, I mean, they know the system. They know there's a human involved. They just want to come in there when that human scent is dissipated enough that they think that we're nowhere to be found. So, I'm running a little bit late. It's currently about noon. These bears are typically not coming in until the last hour of daylight. And we're on a once in a decade pattern right now with these bears in Oklahoma. We've been hunting this property since 2015. So let's see, we hunted it 15, 16, 17, 18. So this is the fourth year that we've hunted it. And the first year that we hunted it, these two bears that are coming in right now were there. We call them Yellow Tag and Batman. Yellow Tag was a big bear with two yellow ear tags, and the other bear, his ears curled out in a unique way, and he looked like Batman to me. Called him Batman. Both these bears, big males. I'm not going to tell you what I think they weigh until just a little bit later. But that first year we baited, it was almost like the honeymoon phase of this property. And the bears they just kind of felt like they'd found a bird nest on the ground when they found our bait. And they treated it very, very haphazardly. And anyway, I actually let a friend hunt it that year. And he wounded the Batman bear. What I believe was Batman bear. Shot him low in the brisket. The animal did not die. It was just a flesh wound. And he missed Yellow Tag. Yep. Veteran bow hunter, guy I have a ton of respect for, had never hunted bears. And both of these bears came in the first day we ever hunted the property. And at the time, they were probably 350 to 400 and over, a little over 400, you know, both these bears. Well, these bears have become like characters at this bait site, and that's the cool thing about hunting bears over bait. We've got cameras out, and bears are quite distinguishable by many, many things: coloration, muzzle color, body shape, white patches on their chest, just their different features. Just like humans, they just all are a little bit different, and so these bears have become mainstays at this bait. But since that time, these bears have been unkillable, absolutely unkillable. Nothing we've done has allowed us to slip their radar. Last year, my good buddy James Lawrence, I did not hunt Oklahoma last year. Last year, James hunted it, and he had Yellow Tag come in on the first day that he hunted. And Yellow Tag smelled him, left. So these bears are smart, but today is October 1st, and as of yesterday, these bears were still pounding this bait. These bears ate roughly 300 pounds of bread in the last 2 days. They've eaten a tremendous amount of food, so they're really doing what you want them to do. which usually right now they're starting to fade off the baits. When we start baiting in early September, these bears are coming out of a stress period, which is the late summer. When it's hot, bears are dried up. It's actually a stress period, just like for whitetails. And these bears will almost eat anything. A bear will be coming to bait. He'll be there during the daytime. He'll be sleeping in front of your barrel. And all these guys are sending me pictures saying, man, I got a huge bear. What taxidermy should I use? You know, and I myself have fallen for that trap before. Is that, man, just because you've got that bear coming in like crazy, even in mid-September, it doesn't mean a thing. I'll tell you, the only thing that counts in baiting bears in Arkansas and Oklahoma is when you've got a bear in front of you the day season opens. Because in 2020, well, you know what? We've been baiting that property since 14. Because in 2015, Batman and Yellow Tag were coming in, and 2 days before season, they left. Vanished. Never to be seen again at that bait. I ended up taking a lesser bear that was, I believe, 100 pounds lighter than Yellow Tag or Batman in 2015. So I actually harvested a bear that was the lesser of those two. He weighed 360 pounds and he had a skull score of 20 8/16, which made him qualify for the Boone and Crockett All-Time Awards. I mean, a Boone and Crockett bear. So my biggest bear to date has come from southeast Oklahoma, right here. And the biggest bear I've ever killed, skull size, is smaller than these two bears that I'm hunting today. I want to back up, though, because I got my dates wrong. My buddy that wounded Batman and missed Yellow Tag, that would have been 2014. So we've now been hunting this bait for 5 years. So these two bears are still here. And bears have a much longer lifespan than a whitetail. These bears can live 25 years. They really can. And I don't know how old these bears are, but they're mature animals. They've been around because they were big and mature 5 years ago. So this is a tremendous, I mean, my emotions almost don't really even know how to respond to a day like today. It's so exciting to me. But at the same time, I don't want to get my hopes up too much because these bears have given us the slip so many times. But today is a great day, and man, I'm just grateful, absolutely grateful that we can hunt bears in Oklahoma, that we've got bears over there, and that I get to hunt them as non-resident. So for that, I am truly grateful. So yesterday I was personally not able to go over and bait. I wanted to go over there and bait and check the cameras and really know exactly what was going on. I wasn't able to do that because, I'll tell you why, because we were tracking a bear in Arkansas. And I want to tell you a heartbreaking story. And I'll just hit the high points. But in Arkansas, we gained access to a landlocked piece of property that basically has no roads to it. The property has an old trail to it, but there's no way to drive a four-wheeler. There's no way to drive a car. No, so there's no roads to this property. And it's surrounded by national forest, so you can't drive a four-wheeler to it. And we have been using our mules to pack in bait. Gained access. It's about an hour mule ride, hour walk back in to this area. And for whatever reason, I just had in my mind that that's where I wanted to take my 15-year-old daughter, River, this year. River killed a bear 2 years ago. River's killed a buck with her bow. River is really an outdoors woman. She truly is. She really loves hunting. She gets it. She's tough. There is, and I mean this, she is tough. There's, if I were going on like a, you know, a 5-mile backpack trip to do something like really hard, I can't think of anybody else I'd rather take with me, just in terms of bringing someone that wouldn't complain, that wouldn't want to go home, that wouldn't get bored. I mean, like, she's a real deal, and she loves bear hunting. Anyway, about 10 days before season is when we gained access to this property, which was pretty late, and we started baiting the property. We took two mules in there. And we'd never been up to the property before. Well, it'd been a long time since we'd been there. I was there once when I was younger. We get to the property, we bait bears, put up our camera. On the way down, I've got two mules. We've got one riding saddle on Izzy, my Izzy mule. And River was pretty tired. And I said, hey, you want to ride the mule down and I'll lead the other one? Because the other one had a sawbuck on it, just like pack saddle. Couldn't ride it. So I said, would you like to ride Izzy down the mountain so you don't have to walk? And she said, yeah. And so River's a pretty good rider. So River gets on Izzy, but River is not used to Izzy. Izzy is young. Izzy's 3 years old. And Izzy is now pretty fresh because she's had all this weight on her back all day, and all of a sudden it's off of her. And then now River's on her back, and I felt like she was kind of spunky, almost like just fresh out of the trailer. And she was acting a little spunky. Not bad, just spunky. And I was instructing River about what she should do. You know, hey, don't let her push you around. A lot of times, for those of you who've not ridden equine animals much, I mean, a really just dead broke old horse or old mule might not act like this. But a young one, you get on one fresh, they're kind of going to want to do what they want to do. They're not necessarily going to want to buck you off. That's not what happened at all. But just wanting to trot, wanting to go faster, wanting to go their way, and they need an experienced rider to just tell them and show them who's boss. And so River was trying to do that. We get a little ways down the trail, and the trail is brushed in. There's limbs, and so limbs are whacking River, and there, that's really not a problem, but there was a limb about as big as your wrist that was hanging out that was going to hit her about in the chest when the mule was going under it. And so when she saw it coming, she ducked off to the side, grabbed the saddle horn with her hands, dropped the reins, and was just going to go under the limb and then pop back up and grab the reins. Well, when she went under the limb, I believe what happened is she squeezed her legs to stay on the animal. When she squeezed her legs, that's the cue that I've taught Izzy to go faster. So as soon as she kind of leans off the mule to go under this limb, the mule starts to trot. Well, River starts to lose her balance. River squeezes her legs even harder. The mule starts to lope. They are going downhill in the woods. River no longer has the reins in her hand. And she never really regained her balance from stepping under the limb. And so I see all this happening. And basically, Ellie is running, loping down a pretty steep incline with River just barely hanging on. And they basically run out of sight. And I'm hollering, and I run after River. And as a father, this is... As it was happening, I knew this was the moment that I thought would someday happen, but I prayed that when it did, that God would be merciful to us. And it was happening right before my eyes, almost in slow motion. I mean, River was totally out of control. The mule was out of control. And this mountain is littered in boulders, steep, rugged, rough. And it was frightening. I run down the mountain, and the last I had seen, Izzy was kind of dropping over the horizon. Not at the slope of this mountain, you could probably see 50 yards before the mountain just kind of crested down. And I see the mule running, and I see River coming off the side. I mean, I see her just start to fall off the animal. Remember, at like a full, almost at a full gallop, I don't know. And I crest over the hill and I see the mule turned back towards me, looking up towards me with her ears perked up and no river. And then I run a little bit further and I see river sprawled out in the woods on her back with her feet up the mountain, her head down the mountain. And man, it scared me. She was obviously crying. I run up to her. I tell her not to move. I touch her neck. I touch her shoulders. I touch all around on her legs. I knew that if I touched something that was broken, that she would be really, that she'd be really sensitive to it. I could not find anything that I believed was broken on her. The only thing is when I ran my hand on the top of her head, my hand was covered in blood. So I just raised her head ever so slightly, and she had just smashed her head into a rock. Man, we sat there on the ground. I got the mules tied up and caught, and I just told her to lay there, and she laid there for probably a solid 10, maybe 15 minutes. I'll tell you exactly what we did. We prayed. I just asked God to help her. I thanked God that she was alive, and I just kind of lamented the decision that I had made as a father to let her ride down that mountain. And anyway, off the mountain we came. We still had another hour to the truck. River's head was, you know, she was bleeding all down her head and all down her neck. So we go to the emergency room in the little rural town we were near and spend a ton of time at the ER, a ridiculous amount of time, actually. And she had 8 staples in her head, and for, not to be too gruesome, but the cut was about 2 inches long on the back of her head, and you could actually see her skull. So River had a pretty major crash. They did a CT scan on her, and there was no crack in the skull. There was no damage done to the actual brain. So River really took it in the face on that one. So that was day one of our bear baiting on the mountain. We'll call it the pack in bait. So that was day one of our bear baiting at the pack in bait. Well, season begins to roll around. I make it one other time up to the mountain to bait by myself. We had several bears coming in there. And opening day comes, which opening day in Arkansas was September the 22nd. We had torrential rains come through on September the 21st and 22nd to get to the place where we had to cross the river to hunt. Or to get to where we needed to park to hunt, we had to cross a stream. Well, the water had risen so much that we could not cross the stream. So on day one, we couldn't even hunt our bait. And so River and I said, you know, on the first day when she banged up her head, we said, the mountain, 1, Newcomb, 0. On the first day of the Arkansas season, when we were unable to even get to the bait, we said, mountain, 2, Newcomb, 0. On the second day of the season, where we were able to cross the creek and go hunt on the mountain, and we went up there, checked the camera. There was a big bear that had been coming in at night at a time or two late in the evening, and it was a big bear. I mean, like a 400, 450, maybe even bigger type boar. And River decided that she wanted to wait for that bear, and so she did. And she passed 7 bears on opening day at that bait site, and not a single one of those bears was over about 180 pounds, though. She passed all those bears, and it was an amazing day in the stand when there was hardly a 10-minute section where we weren't watching bears. Now, you'll have hunts like that in Canada. You rarely have hunts like that down here. Most of our hunting over bait here in Arkansas is you're seeing 1 or 2 bears, and you're usually seeing them at last light. You usually don't just get the viewing opportunity like you would in Canada. I mean, you go to Canada on a really good hunt, you're going to see a lot of bears, you're going to watch a lot of bears, but not so here. I mean, we are usually, by opening day, we are usually hunting the juvenile stragglers because our season dates are set up such that older mature males are typically gone from the baits, or they're nocturnal by the time season opens. And it's what it's done in Arkansas is it's created a culture where guys shoot the first bear that they see. I really wish the game departments would move our seasons back to where they originally were. Originally, they opened on September 15th for many, many years. And it really doesn't make sense. The numbers don't add up. I think it's an issue of convenience. But we need to get that earlier opener in order to harvest older mature males, because we're building a hunting culture where we're just killing juveniles. And, I haven't seen the stats in a few years, but most of the bears killed in Arkansas are 2 and 3 year old bears. I would like to see us manage for, there's no wildlife that you really want to manage in that way, but for some reason that's the way we're managing our bears here in Arkansas. And there's more to it. It's complex, but there's not much more to it. And I would like to see that change in Arkansas. That would help us. And it would also help if we had an earlier season date to begin to educate the public about how to not shoot the first animal that comes to the barrel. Don't shoot juveniles. Don't shoot juvenile females. If you know it's a sow, do your best to not shoot that sow. And right now, guys, just shoot the first animal to the barrel. And there's kind of a group of guys in the state that are really targeting these older mature males, and we're frustrated as we can be, but there's no shortage of them, but they're very, very difficult to kill. So day one in the pack and bait comes and goes, and River didn't fire an arrow. River had to go to school the whole week, but on Saturday, the next Saturday, which I believe would have been September the 22nd, we went back to the pack and bait. I had been able to go in there one other time and bait, and when I did, the bears had been pounding the bait. So on September 27th, River, Izzy, and I go to the top of the mountain, and we get there, and we check the card. And what happened is one of the most exciting things that can happen in hunting. It truly is. I mean, this is why I hunt, part of it, aside from wildlife-related commodities that we get, that we use throughout the year. But we check the camera, and there had been a whopper bear in there that day, that morning, and it had found the bait that morning. And it was a 400-plus-pound male bear. And the evening before, a second 400-pound-plus color phase bear, and this bear may be 450, had been in there in the daylight. So basically what I'm saying is there were two 400-pound-plus males, different bears, that had been to that bait in the daylight in the last 24 hours. That the first bear, or the bear, we'll call him number one, we'll call him the hippo bear. He had a big old saggy belly and a sway back. He had been in there through night at like almost 10 o'clock that morning. He was still feeding at the bait. We get there at 1 o'clock. So, I mean, just 3 hours before he'd been there. We knew he was close. We knew that he had found the bait. He liked it. He hadn't been spooked off by anything. I mean, this was his first time to the bait was that morning. When you roll into a situation like that, that is a very favorable situation for that bear to return that evening. I mean, we just knew it was going to happen. Climb up in the tree. I was running an Ozonix. Two of us in the tree. Not much we can do for scent control in that particular situation. The winds were light and variable. Winds were blowing from many different directions. We had also hiked an hour in 80-degree temperatures, so we were sweating. And long story short, the hippo bear comes in at 4 o'clock. Broad daylight. Comes in at 4 o'clock. Comes downwind of us. The Ozonix was blowing perfectly. It was a light, probably 3 to 4 mile per hour wind coming out of the west. Ozonix was set up perfectly. And the bear smelled us. And I this isn't a knock on Ozonix. I've still got it in my bag right now. But, I mean, if it reduced our scent, which I'm sure that it did, It did not reduce it enough for that bear to smell us. And it was truly the perfect situation for it to really work. And the bear was intolerant of us. And the hippo bear threw his nose in the air at probably 35 to 40 yards, turned his nose up, and left. And we never saw him again the rest of the evening. So we're sitting here, and we actually see a sow with this year's cubs come into the bait and watch these little bears. It was the first time, I believe, I've been on in that close proximity to a sow with little cubs. Super fun to watch. She was not aggressive towards us at all. Every bear that came into that bait knew exactly where we were, and they made eye contact with us. They knew we were there, but they really didn't seem to care. So the sow comes in. There's another smaller bear that came in, you know, probably 130-pound boar that came in. It was eating quite a bit. And so we got there. We basically started hunting at 2 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, the hippo bear came in. It's dark about 7:15-ish. And we knew that this big color face bear had been in there the day before. And I'll be darned if that bear didn't show up at about 6:30. The bear, we see him come within, you know, 40 yards. We see him out there. We immediately recognize him as the big color face from the camera. I mean, this is, sometimes it's tough. You see a, you know, 450-pound bear, and you'll probably see this footage at some point through Bear Horizon or the vlog. You see this big bear, and you're like, yeah, these guys see big bears all the time. I want to put that into perspective. I have not seen a 400-pound plus bear from the tree stand while hunting over bait in Arkansas. Let me think about this before I say it. It's true. Ever. I'm going to say that. Ever. I have killed a 500-pound bear in Arkansas, but I killed it in the National Forest without bait. I have put people on big bears. There was about a four-year period there when I was basically auctioning off my best stand for the Arkansas Black Bear Association, and we put some people on some good bears. But killing a big bear over bait is no joke. It is no joke at all. And so here comes this bear. And so, I mean, one of the biggest bear I've ever seen in my life over bait in Arkansas that was killable was coming in, shooting light. And River shoots a 43-pound bow. She had 150-grain iron will broadhead. It was a light setup, but River killed a bear 2 years ago, about a 225-pound male, passed all the way through the bear. I mean, the 40, at that time it was a 40-pound bow. 40-pound bow, shot an arrow through the bear. I mean, the arrow is laying on the ground on the side of the bear. So I know this is a totally different animal that's twice as big, but still I felt like the arrow, the bow had the energy. We had a cut on impact broadhead. We had some weight on the arrow. Felt like everything was right. I truly was not worried about the river not being able to, or not. I wasn't worried about the bow. Well, the bear smells us. It was really interesting. The bear smelled us. I mean, he was out there. Ozonics was blowing just right, and man, that bear had his nose in the air, and he pinned us. But this bear had been using the bait for the last week to 10 days. This bear had actually come in 20 minutes after we left on the second day. Well, the first day that we hunted, second day of the season. This bear had been standing where we were standing 20 minutes after we were there. So this bear inevitably knew there were humans involved. He had smelled us before. And when he smelled us this time, it didn't bother him that much, because despite his nose telling him that we were there, he walked right in, actually looking at us. This particular area, we weren't able to get very high in the trees. There weren't very many big trees, so we were only about 13 feet high. And basically this big 400, let's just call him 400 plus pound bear, color fades, kind of a chocolatey tinge, comes walking in, just making eye contact with us, looking at us up in the stand. River's standing up, she's got her bow in hand. And the bear comes into like 8 yards, turns broadside, River draws her bow, River shoots, and she hit the bear slightly high. We think maybe it caught the back tip of the scapula, which is the shoulder blade, and the arrow penetrated about 5 inches. The bear ran off. The next day we trailed it for over a half a mile off of blood that was being basically rubbed off high on bushes, and we never recovered the bear. Never recovered the bear. I felt terrible. I truly felt terrible. The shot was just inches away from right where you want it to be, and it was a tough one. It was a tough one for River. She worked so hard, so resilient, and it was a tough one for me. I mean, I hated to see that bear get away from us, but you know, we tracked that bear on our hands and knees through a pawpaw thicket all morning yesterday, and I really just had this sense that part of the human experience is dealing with disappointment. And a lot of who we are as men and how we respond to life has to do with how we deal with disappointment. And I was more disappointed in that than probably any animal that I personally have ever not recovered. You know, and it was partially, maybe it was a selfish thing, you know, like if my daughter had taken this bear on film, you know, it would have been good for me. I don't know. I just wanted her to get it. She worked so hard. She passed 9 bears. And I'll tell you, the bear hunting culture in Arkansas, there's not many grown men that would have passed these 9 bears that she did, waiting for the big one. The big one shows she does everything right, just a little bit high, and we don't recover the bear. So, man, the pain and the agony, the joys and the agony of hunting is really what makes it what it is. Really a complex, complex deal, because it's a high-stakes game. If you win, the rewards are high, found in the commodities given to us by God from wildlife, meat, hide, fang, and fur. But the consequences are significant when we do not capitalize on an opportunity. And this is 2 days after, and I'm really still not really over it. And to be honest with you, I'm headed to Oklahoma to potentially one of the best hunts I've ever been on in terms of just gathering the data going into the hunt. The conditions are favorable. Got 2 giant bears on bait. And, man, I'm almost not even excited, to be honest with you. So, hey, we're 38 minutes into this podcast, and this is what I want to do. I'm going to kind of take you step by step through my afternoon. I'm going to bring you into the blind with me and give you some commentary as this hunt unfolds. So I'm about an hour out from getting out of the truck, walking into the stand. It's 12:41 on October the 1st. Got my non-resident Oklahoma bear tag in my pocket. And man, what a great day to be a bear hunter.
Just got to the property here where we're baiting bears. I'm parking probably close to half a mile from where I'm hunting. I don't trust these big old bears one lick, and I don't want to get close to them. I want them to think there's nobody in the country. I just did my, kind of doing my pre-hunt ritual. Just took a bath in the creek, getting all my stuff together. If I do not kill a bear this evening, my plan is to spend the night in the redneck blind. So I've got food, I've got equipment to stay the night. I'm just making my final preparations here. I hadn't told anybody this, or hadn't made a big deal about it, but I was going to shoot the traditional bow on this hunt, and I couldn't shoot the trad bow out of the redneck blind. It's a pretty big, well, it's a big blind, and I probably could have done it, but did not want the weapon to be the limiting factor. I actually borrowed a bow, a Halon 32, from my good buddy Aaron Weiss down at Outdoor America in Springdale, Arkansas. He set this bow up for me like 2 days ago. I'm shooting great with it, shooting some 250 grain iron will broadheads. And, you know, I'm kind of geared up for like a big game hunt, you know. These are big critters. So I'm about to walk up the hill to the stand. I'm going to try to give you a play-by-play. When I'm in the blind, I feel like I'm going to be able to talk some because those blinds are pretty soundproof. But, all right. It's 4:23 p.m. I've been in the blind for about an hour and a half, just kind of getting everything situated. This is my first time in the blind with the compound bow, with the cameras, so I'm trying to figure out exactly how I'm going to do this. I think I've got a system that works. I'm planning to shoot out of one of these long corner windows made for bow hunting. So I'll be shooting down. I've got a camera filming out of the long, the standard shooting window to my left. I have a camera to my back, and I've got a GoPro out in front of me. My buddy James Lawrence came in here yesterday and baited several hundred pounds of bait. They have eaten almost all of it. There are not a lot of bears on this bait, but the two giant bears that are on here are eating a ton. I mean, literally, they ate, I don't know the weight of bait he put out yesterday, but I would venture to say easily 200 pounds of bait. And it's 85% gone. That's exactly what you want to see as a bear hunter. When you come into the bait, is it just be demolished? So again, we put up this redneck blind for the sole purpose of scent control, which, if it doesn't backfire on us, is going to be ingenious. But the negative side of it is I am roasting in this blind right now. Got all the windows shut, and it's 86 degrees outside. Let me put it to you this way. When I open the windows, which I have, I opened one just to look outside, it feels like it's 30 degrees outside as the cold air rushes in. I don't know how hot it is in here, but it's hot. But it's a small price to pay for almost 100% scent control when hunting trophy black bear over bait. Like I said earlier, I've been hunting these bears, these particular bears, for 5 years and have never been able to catch up with them. And this part of what I, part of, to me, what makes a successful hunter successful is he's able to identify the limiting factors of his hunting and improve those things. So here's an example. I shoot my Matthews Halon 32 right now. I can shoot it so well that it is not the limiting factor of my hunting. If I have 10 kills and 90% of those kills are successful, 10% are failures, it's never going to be because I can't hit a dot at 20 to 25 yards. Now, it might be panic in the field. It might be making a bad decision in the field for shot placement or whatever. But my point is you got to focus on what is the thing that's keeping you from being unsuccessful. And for me in this situation, it was scent. I do not believe in any other type of scent control. I had bears smell me, running some all kind of products. I don't want to name any names, but there's nothing that you could do in an open tree stand to fully contain your scent against a bear. So this redneck blind is the best solution that I've got. However, I am cooking in here, so I mean, literally, my clothes are almost soaked, so I do smell worse than normal. So if for some reason the scent is leaking, it's going to leak. It's going to leak good, but I don't think it will. I'm able to whisper in this blind because these redneck blinds are insulated. They've got foam insulation all around them. And I have no doubt that the noise I'm making right now is not going to impact these bears. There was a bear here when I arrived. It was a younger bear, or just a smaller bear, a sow. I kind of snuck up on it, and I thought, well, I could wait until the bear leaves and not disturb it. But the wind was kind of swirling, and I thought, I'm out here in the open. I know these big bears are close. They really are. I mean, I have a gut feeling they aren't bedded more than 150 yards from this bait. And so the longer time I spent out of the blind, there's a better chance that the big bears were going to smell me. So what I did is I chunked a rock kind of on the backside of this bear out in the woods and kind of spooked it off. And I climbed up in the blind and went and checked my camera, or grabbed the card out of the camera quickly, came back, and I have been unable to read the card because of I just bought a brand new little SD card reader that plugs into your phone, and it, golly, it's ridiculous. You got to download an app and do all kind of stuff, and I still cannot get it to read pictures. I am highly frustrated with that. But I am in the blind looking to, let's see, the north. I'm looking back at about a quarter acre food plot. To my south, I'm looking at about a 20-year-old replanted pine, what used to be just like a clear cut. This property was cut about 15 to 20 years ago. And so I'm looking at a big stand of pine timber. We came in here and hung this redneck blind back in August and cut some shooting lanes. And these bears don't want to be out in the open. They don't want to be in a food plot. They want to be in the shade. They're a black animal. They're designed to live in the shadows. And so they want to be in the timber. That's where they feel comfortable. So my bait is off in the woods. Place the bait close to the stand in case I was shooting a traditional bow out of this blind, so the barrels are no more than probably 8 yards from me, which is close. I'm going to have to watch myself on shot angle. But here I am, just waiting. It's 4:52. And I've seen my first bear from the redneck blind. I've got a bear out here at about 45 yards that's lounging on the west side of the food plot. It appears to be a smaller bear, but it's just, only because of the food plot am I able to see it, because there's not thick vegetation around, but it kind of confirms what you feel like these bears are doing. You feel like they're eating, and then they're just going out of sight and laying down where they can smell and listen to the bait site. And this bear, I see it bobbing its head up and down, kind of smelling. It's panting. And
So that's the first bear. I figure it's waiting for to hear the barrels clank or to smell another bear or to smell a human coming in here. So first bear of the evening, 4:52 p.m. October 1st. I just had 2-year-old cubs, or year and a half old cubs, show up to just jet black. Little guys came in. I was watching this other bear that was bedded down in the food plot, and it jumped up and ran off, and then a few minutes later, here came these two little cubs. They probably weigh 60, 70 pounds apiece. I do not see their mama, and because I was unable to read the card, I don't recall seeing cubs on the card on Thursday. So perhaps a sow and two cubs have showed up. Or they indeed have. They keep looking back behind. I figure their mama's not far. One thing that's interesting about a hunted bear population is that it actually grows faster than an unhunted population. So there are the bears in this part of the world, Arkansas, Oklahoma, are fairly rapidly increasing their range because the hub of the bear population in Arkansas, Oklahoma is in the Ozark and Ouachita Mountains. These are rugged mountains between 1,000 and 3,000 feet, oak hickory forest climax. And this was historic range of the bear. Lots of national forest, lots of big open country, lots of perfect bear habitat. Well, what's happening is the bears have saturated that habitat, and now they're beginning to bleed out in every direction from the Ozark and Ouachita Mountains down into areas that typically wouldn't be great bear habitat, like the pine plantations of southern Arkansas, pine swamp plantation, like just timberland. They're starting to get a lot of bears. The timberland in deeper southeast Oklahoma is starting to get a lot of bears. Bears are moving north into the northern Ozarks of Missouri, which that's good bear country. Bears are moving into northern Louisiana. They're moving into western Mississippi. And it's because we're hunting them. We're hunting this population of bears, which its hub is in Arkansas. And these bears are expanding, so there's tons of cubs. We saw cubs 2 days ago in Arkansas on Rivers Hunt. So, really great to see a thriving bear population, because that's what we want as hunters and conservationists. We don't want to kill them all. We want to keep all of them, and we're going to cherry pick some off the top. Cherry pick the surplus. We're the good guys. It's 5:51, and the sow finally came in. She let these cubs feed at this bait for probably 20 minutes without her. She is an untagged, good-sized sow, probably over 200 pounds. We see a lot of tagged bears in this part of Oklahoma. They estimate the bear population here to be about 2,000 bears. And they have captured and tagged or collared roughly 200. So 10% of the bears, they believe, that are in Oklahoma have actually laid their hands on. And they ear tag the bears and mark them just so they can say, you know, we caught this bear here and he was harvested over here, or he was hit by a car here, or we never heard from him again. But they also have some number of sows, probably 15 to 20 sows collared, that they go in and do den studies on. So any bear that's caught is tagged. This bear has not been caught. So this is one of the free bears. One of the big bears that I'm after tonight that I believe is probably close to 600 pounds is a tagged bear. He had 2 yellow ear tags back in 2014. So he's been tagged for a long time. He does not have a collar. but he's a whopper. You know, I meant to say earlier that the two bears that I'm hunting, one of them, I believe, is 550 to 600 plus, and we call him Yellow Tags. He's got two yellow tags. The other one is probably 450 to 500, and I call him Batman. I will shoot either bear that shows up tonight and be as happy as I can be. I figure both of them are potentially Boone and Crockett animals. It is nearing 6 o'clock, the magic hour for bears, and I'm staring out the window, this redneck blind, and a big sow and two cubs at about 8 yards. And the sow and cubs just threw up their head and ran off, huffing. For sure there's another bear coming in. I haven't seen it yet, which gives me even more reason to believe it may be the big one. A big one. Who's come in and is just kind of skirting. Just shot Batman. Just shot Batman. Holy cow. Just shot Batman. I just shot Batman. I can't believe it. It was about 6:15, full daylight. Just great, great light. He came in, he towered above the barrel. A bear whose shoulders are over 36 inches is that's a big bear. Big bear. And this bear towered over the barrel, filled out, big legs, huge head, big old curled ears, looks like Batman. That's why we call him Batman. This bear is I can't believe that. I'm almost speechless. There's so much work that goes into this hunt. I mean, we for months have been working on this redneck blind. We've had this access to this property for 5 years. We had this bear on the camera 5 years ago, and he was big then. We've got the crazy part is that he's not even the big bear. This is a lesser of two bears. There's another bear in here that's got two yellow tags that I believe is 75 to 100 pounds bigger than Batman. And just off the cuff, I'm going to step out on a limb. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to be happy that I'm wrong. If I'm right, I'm going to be happy that I'm right. I don't care. I think the bear is 500 pounds. Now, he could be 15, 20 pounds on either side of that. But, folks, he is the lesser of two bears on this bait. And I want to talk about the implication of that. So we've got these big bears on bait that we're hunting. Well, the implication is that, or what you can imply from this, is that bears are thriving in this part of the country. This is a testament to wildlife conservation. It's a testament to the reintroduction of black bears in the 1950s and 60s back into Arkansas and their movement into southeast Oklahoma, where their native range was at one time. Where you've got older, mature males, it indicates that the population is stable. It indicates that the population is well-balanced. It indicates a healthy population. An older, mature male is an indicator animal. You know, in a deer herd where you have no mature bucks, you know that something's out of whack. Either the hunting culture, you know, the management or the habitat or for some reason those older males aren't making it to maturity. Where older males make it to maturity, everything beneath them is in perfect order. And so, man, this is a testament to conservation. It's a testament to hunting. And man, I'm thrilled. Man, if I never kill a bear the rest of my life, I will feel like I have experienced the top of the mountain of bear hunting, that iconic animal of North American wilderness right here within driving distance of my house. What an amazing place that we live in. What an amazing country that we live in. God, long live the hunters, long live the beast. Oh man, my dad is on his way with a tractor. James Lawrence is on his way. Ryan Flintface Greb is on his way. Ryan Greb is the master big bear hunter of Arkansas, no doubt. He's coming. And we've got a long night of work in front of us, but hey man, that's what we do it for. I'm drenched in sweat. This redneck blind with the windows shut is hot, but man, I tell you, I attribute this kill to that, to this blind. He couldn't smell me. He had no idea that I was here. If I had been in a tree stand, the winds are swirling, the thermals are changing. He came from downhill. I mean, if I would have killed the bear in an open tree stand, it would have been just happenstance. I mean, probably 40% of the time I would have killed it. 60% of the time the bear would have smelled me and not come in. So this blind, you know, scent is the limiting factor. This blind has remedied that scent factor, the limiting factor. And it worked just like we thought it would. James Lawrence has an Oklahoma bear tag. And man, James has done nothing but help me and be a great friend for a long time. And he will be hunting the yellow tag bear. And we'll see what Batman weighs. But I believe that yellow tag is 75 to 100 pounds bigger than this bear that I just took. So the troops are on their way. They're all about an hour and a half away. So I may get down and go track this bear if he's dead. Well, I just found the bear. He ran about 50 yards from where I shot him. And he is a giant. I do not know what he weighs, but we are going to find out. And he's beautiful. All four canines are wore down. He's tall, he's long, he's fat. I could barely get him turned over. Holy cow. This is probably the biggest bear I've ever killed. The scales will tell. We've got an 800-pound scale. My dad, I can hear my dad coming up the mountain with the tractor. He was on call. James Lawrence is on his way. Ryan Greb's on his way. We are going to know the weight of this bear, but I don't care what he weighs. I'm just grateful to partake in such a sacred event as to harvest a big old giant Oklahoma black bear like this. What a testament to conservation. What a testament to hunters that we got bears like this here. Man, the joy, but also the agony of hunting. 2 days ago, I was in just the agony as we lost River's bear. I FaceTimed River a minute ago, and she is ecstatic. Truly is. She wanted a play-by-play. She wanted me to FaceTime her when I got the bear. I wish so bad she could be here, but this is what makes it all worth it. And to share it with, oh, Dad's crossing the creek. To share it with special people, my dad, James Lawrence, my buddy Ryan Greb. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal day. I hit this bear just right in the boiler room. I don't think I got an exit wound. I could have swore that I got a total pass through, but I don't think that I did. I hit him about probably 4 inches behind the shoulder, mid body. I mean, you know, midway from the top to the bottom. The bear ran 50 yards. He was done before he left, and I knew that he would be. I didn't even trail blood. I just walked back here and saw him piled up. It took me about 20 minutes to get him rolled over.
I didn't even blood trail him, Dad. I just walked back here and found him. Hey, the arrow disappeared into the bear, okay?
Yeah.
Just gone.
Right.
I think complete pass-through.
But you can't find the arrow?
It never passed through the bear.
Oh, it's inside?
I think, big, huh? Well, surely not. But I think the entire arrow is inside of him, or it broke off. But look at this sucker. Look at those ears, man.
You hear him fall?
No, I just heard him bust off through the brush. And I mean, just plowing over trees. He kind of growled when I shot, but he didn't death moan.
Yeah.
Of all the bears I've killed, about 30% of them have death moaned. Everybody's like, man, you got to hear the death moan. Well, man, I just don't hear it that often.
Now, was he... was that arrow going in towards his other shoulder or back
towards
his guts?
It was just like this.
So you got both lungs is what you did.
Yeah, it was just a 10-ring double lung. But look at that angle right there. Right on his neck. I mean, he's wide.
You know, his head might be small, Clay.
Oh, it's not small. I bet my truck it's over 20 inches.
Okay.
I mean, I'm serious.
Okay.
I bet my truck. Now, I might eat my words, but I'm going to be
well,
bold.
The only reason I say that, his neck is so stinking big. But, man, that's a long ways from ear to ear. I mean, that's a long ways across there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that...
But, hey, the way... This is how you know that he's going to be big is... Look at those teeth. He does not have a single canine.
He needed to be killed, didn't he?
He'd already contributed to the gene pool... I mean, we had this bear on camera in 2014, and I am not sure that this is not the bear that our good buddy shot and we never found. You remember?
Really? Yeah.
The bear we tracked?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure that this is not him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to look for a scar down low on his brisket. But, you know, and the thing is that this, as far as body size, is the lesser of those two bears. But,
Now, weren't there three big bears?
Well, there is another boar that's in the 300-pound range, which...
But this is the second largest bear.
Yeah, there is a bear that is bigger body size than this one. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But, I mean, you know, when this animal walks up...
You can't pass this
guy
up.
It'd be crazy to... I thought about it, you know.
Well, I mean, that other bear... outweighs this thing at least 100 pounds, I bet.
Maybe so. And see, that's what's going to be so cool to find out what the spare weighs.
Yeah.
I mean, if it weighs 400 pounds, then we go, other one's 500. But if this one weighs 500, then we know we've got a 600-pound bear.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what's going to be interesting. Hey, the other thing I learned about this bait site is I could hear you driving up the road before you got to the creek. I heard your truck a long time, and then I heard you cross the creek. So that tells me.
Yeah, I figured you could. At least when I crossed the creek.
Well, see, when I.
Could you hear all the banging? Man, it drug worse than it's ever drug.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, when I'm coming in here to hunt, I'm thinking about what are these bears hearing?
Yeah.
And they're hearing us a long ways away.
Yeah.
So it's good that I parked on the other side of the creek.
My truck is extremely loud now that I've taken it.
Oh, looks like the boys are here. Yeah, he's just right down there.
All right.
He's a beast.
Oh, that's a big sow.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, that is a big
sound. Hey, look at these teeth.
Yep.
It's not going to be long. We need to five tractor.
Let me get it up a little bit. That ain't...
547. Holy smokes.
Hey, way to go, Clay. We were going to put you up for adoption.
Hey, we might keep you.
What is ridiculous is that when he walked up and I didn't see those double yellow air tags, I thought, man, I ought to just wait. I ought to just wait and see if that other one comes in.
Hey, that other one weighs 650, Clay, baby.
A good bear. River Newcomb would have passed this bear up.
What does that say? 549.4.
Oh, 550.
He's flat off the ground.
Is it not 550?
550.
Exactly. 550.
Exactly.
On the money.
And you know, they say those scales are accurate.
Those digital scales are really accurate.
02. That's what the, you know, the
50.
Everybody turn their light off. I can't even get a picture of that. I won't read it.
All right.
What's he? He looks like he's a skydiver.
We did it.
Damn, man. That is awesome.
Congratulations. Wow.
Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice.
Dad, thanks for all your help, man.
Yeah.
Hey.
That other bear, man, was 650, man.
Oh, that other bear. Is a lot bigger than this bear.
Look at the head on that sucker.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast. Hey, while I'm standing over this bear, I want to ask you to subscribe to our magazine. When you subscribe to our magazine, you're supporting our cause, you're supporting our brand, and you get an awesome magazine 6 times a year. Also want to ask you to check out our YouTube channel. You'll be able to see this hunt on our YouTube channel at some point really soon. And more than anything, let's keep the wild places wild, because that's where the bears live.